Walk like a child of the King. It's an honor and a privilege to represent him. And I guess the question is, are you representing him well? The beauty of that, the burden hasn't been placed on you per se, because he's provided everything that you need to walk like the child of the King. This all started by me finding a scripture in Revelation, and I don't normally teach from anything in Revelation because it's usually too much and too deep, but that's what I'm doing anyhow. Revelation 12:10. And if I had someone with a trumpet, imagine or listen for the trumpet and hear a trumpet sounding. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accusers of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. Oh, I can read it up there too. Well, that's cool. Jesus prophesied this, that it was going to happen before. Imagine this, I'll give you the whole story so you don't have to go there because it's not a scripture that's either going to put up. He sent the apostles out. They went out and two by two did all the stuff that they were going to do. They came back, they're all pumped. They were arguing about who was the greatest and on, and the Lord reproved them. That's really neat. They were apostles. But then in Luke 10:17, he sent out the 72. Now, to me, the 72 aren't the apostles, which is obvious. They're like you and I. They were disciples, you know. They didn't really have it together. He gives them this anointing. He gives them this charge. He comes on. He sends them out. And the 72 return with joy and say, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. When it doesn't seem like everything's going right and you're not walking like a child of God, remember that your name is written in the book of life. It's just part of what I'm going to be speaking on, which is called salvation. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. We already know that if you want to become great in the kingdom of God, you need to become as little children. That never changes. We will always need him to walk this thing out that he's called us to. That doesn't change. You can study the scripture and spout this and that, but I need a relationship with him to do what I was incapable of doing before by the grace that he's given to me. They will see a child of the King when I allow him to be who he is in my life, and they will go, what's with him? What's with her? All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He's chosen you. If the first part of the scripture that we read in terms in Romans, is he the Lord of your life. Is he the Lord of your life? They acknowledge that he's Lord, and he is. But have you come to a place in your walk that you've gone to the step where, no, today, he's the Lord of my life. Today, I'm wanting to walk in him and demonstrate everything that he's done in my life so that the world might see Christ in me, the hope of glory. I wish that was a simple thing, but it's not. Well, go on. So now have come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. Salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is the process that we're going through. In heaven, everything's been taken care of. Everything's been covered by the blood. Every sin that I have had, might have committed recently or tomorrow has been covered. But there's areas of my life that have not been surrendered that need to surrender to the kingdom of God, need to surrender to him. Bruce brought that up, I think, last week in terms of there's still sometimes he was about to respond this way, but he doesn't respond that way anymore because a change has taken place. That's what our walk is to be like. But we need to give him license by asking him, today, I need you in my life. Was it a one-time thing in terms of salvation in heaven and everything? Absolutely, I'm not. But he's wanting to, well, I guess we got the scripture. As our day unfolds, there will be times when we didn't quite hit it right. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself. If you get caught in a sin, you'll repent because you got caught. That's worldly sorrow. You're still going to suffer the consequences of whatever it is. But godly repentance is when you come to realize, look how this affected everybody else's life. Because I chose to do this. I chose to do this rather than allow him to manifest himself in me. I'm given a choice. And I'd like to tell you that that's going to change, but it isn't. He gave us freedom of choice every day. Choose life or choose death. That's your choice. So you're going to be confronted with situations where everything is raising up within you and somebody's coming at you and you're justified in arguing with them. And you choose him. Or you can do that, go that, and demonstrate at this moment in time, Christ isn't being demonstrated in your life. It's not because you didn't have what you need, it's because you didn't choose to allow that which he's having you do to be released. So it's not an easy thing. Story. Knew a young woman whose brother was a heroin addict. She had seen him going through all kinds of trauma. Eventually, he gave his life to the Lord, got his life all cleaned up. Everything was going great. And then he had a bad day, went and got some heroin, and it was tainted, and he died. She understandably was ticked. She came over, and she's ticked. And what you would think a smart Christian might do is, we'll comfort her, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what came out of my mouth to her was, you're justified to be upset and to be ticked. Well, what good is that going to do you? It's like, where's the comfort in this? But everything changed, and she realized. She saw her brother in heaven because he'd given his life. I can't put God in a box. My walk's not your walk. Don't walk my walk. Walk your own, but find him in it. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. According to his good purpose. Yeah, you're going to see stuff in your life, or you're going to come into tests and trials to be able to demonstrate who he is in you, and sometimes you'll pass the test, and sometimes you won't. But the whole point of it is that you're going to see it's not yet been changed in your life, that is contrary to who God says you are. God has said this concerning you. You've heard it. You know. You are a child of the King. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Okay. So I find myself in a place where I have what I need. God can rise, or God can use the angels around me to set things up so people's hearts could be open to be able to hear what it is that he's wanting to hear. Okay. That's good. But it says all angels are angels of darkness, angels? That's like, and this is me conversation with him, and you can throw it away if you want. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, because it blew me away. And then all of a sudden I realized, if I chose not in keeping with the will of God, then the angels can mess with me. So they mess with me. I start suffering consequences to it. Oh, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable. The peace of God is no longer ruling in my life. So what do I do? I see how I messed up. I run to the one who can set everything right. I repent of my sin. The enemy has to stop. He can't mess with me anymore. It's been covered. So this thing that has been exposed in my life to bring about salvation so that who I am in heaven becomes manifested in me. So unfortunately, that's part of the process. But I have good news for you. If you choose his perfect will, you don't have to mess with him. You just go through the test and the trial. Tests and trials are still hard. Can't say that they're not, but you're not suffering any consequences for your own choice to sin. Don't sin. The power of God. Now, I know we've talked about the power of him doing signs and miracles and wonders, but that's not where I'm going. 2 Peter 1:3-4. His power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, okay, what are these? His own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When you are tempted, if you find yourself continuing on in the will of God, in the midst of it, somebody at work is coming against you, and they're just ripping you apart. And you can rise up and be you in your flesh, or choose. And in that moment, the beauty of it is, this can be coming against you, and you can be going, God, I need. rise up. Do you ask? Are you in relationship where he's part of your life as it unfolds? If this isn't a, I did this way back when and therefore I'm saved. That's all true. But being saved is also today from the influences of the evil one so that I might demonstrate who he is in my life so that the world might see I'm not the Christians that they normally think. The greatest problem that I had in becoming a Christian was Christians. They were hypocrites. They'd say this, and I look at their lives, and it's like, why would I want to be like that? They made a promise to do this, and they're, you know, of all the people that came to help me move, it wasn't them. It was the non-believers that I asked to help me move. Huh? Does your word mean anything? It's part of being a Christian. Then don't make it. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you're not going to help, then don't say you're going to help. I went on a tangent, sorry. We'll get back. Through our knowledge of him, are you spending time with him just for spending time with him? I got called on this. I don't think I'll give you the story. I used to get up early and spend time with the Lord. That's good. But it was because I needed his presence to be upon me so that I could go on in and work at the factory that I was working at so that I wouldn't strangle anybody. And you might laugh, but no, I'm serious. Working out there, whatever job you've got, is hard. There are believers out there and unbelievers, and then there's the evil one that wants to mess with you and cause them to mess with you. So you have a choice. Are you walking in him? Choose. Sometimes it's more often than you want in a day, but you've got to choose. Kingdom. It was part of what we will go back. Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God. I want you to envision that as when Christ fulfilled everything that he did, this is what's available for you to tap into. Salvation. Power and the kingdom of God. You can choose to walk in the kingdom of God. You can choose to rely upon the power that you already have in you to do what you are incapable of doing. You're going to hear me saying that over and over. That's another part of the definition of grace. Grace covered all of my sins, past, present, and future, and enables me to do what I couldn't do on my own. I've been given grace. John 3:3-4. In reply, Jesus declared, this is when Nicodemus came to him, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And yes, I'm quoting it correctly. Most people, if they quote that scripture, they will put in where it says see, enter. It doesn't say enter, it says see. Okay, well, that's interesting. Why would he do it that way? And Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with you, everyone born of the Spirit. As I looked at the kingdom of God, I remember that he speaks of us of being temples of his. And so in my walk with him, I've had to have him dumb things down for me, because it may sound like I have some intelligence, but in reality, it's like he's got to make it simple to me. And I realized that when I gave my life to him and invited it into me, I opened up the door and he came in and he was standing in the foyer waiting. Because every part of my walk with him is one of inviting him in more. So he puts his finger on an area of my life. Can I come and sit in the living room? Well, yeah, I guess. And it's kind of a mess. Well, sure, come on in. So the point that I'm making is, in every areas of life, whether it be finances, whether it be your kids, your spouse, your job, anything else you want to fill in the blank, there are rooms of this temple that you need to invite him into so that he can be Lord over that area also. So you've asked him in. And he wants to change stuff. Well, I'd like to do this. Now you have a choice of saying yes or no. Or yes. So he wants to change it, so you've invited him in, and now he's now about changing it. Well, I didn't know you were going to do that much. And then he stops. It is all about the relationship. How badly do you want to present to the world who he's called you to be, as he's purifying? No, that can't be purifying. That's not the correct word, because that's already been done too. To release his glory upon you to reveal himself to the world. That's really what it is. All we're doing is agreeing with him, and he goes, okay, and I change. This blew me away, the authority of his Christ. What? I mean, that just blew me away. And then I began to understand. Jesus walked perfectly, became our sacrifice, and in doing so, became the Christ, our Messiah, our deliverer, our kinsman redeemer. Because of this, the authority of being the Christ or Messiah was set free, set us all free from everything. It was all part of the big plan that God had. He had already seen this from before. He knew what he was doing. So all of the burden of this is off of you per se, because all you have to do is choose you this day, as Joshua had to do. Are you going to follow? Are you going to follow him today? Now, again, tests and trials will come. The enemy will try and use people to mess with you. And you can stand strong in him out of this relationship. And the beauty of that is you'll come through at the end of the day and you'll go, wow. I remember what this day would have looked like if I hadn't let him be who he is in me, because I remember. Now, I've been at this over 40-some years, and the good news is we've made a lot of progress. This is where you go, yay! But I'm still not done. I'm still seeing attitudes in my life. We're talking about attitudes, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they come at you, you don't respond like you would normally respond, but what's running through you is, we won't say the words, okay, we can fill them in yourself. Attitude, okay. This is where I would normally have Grego. There therefore is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So we're at that point. Matthew 7:21-29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ew. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many of us will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine must put them into practice. It is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. My foundation is Jesus Christ. It's him that I gave my life to. It's him that opened up the way that I might have a relationship with the Father. It's totally dependent upon what he did. But I come back to so that I might have relationship with God. Now, I change that from the Father to God. All of who they are in my life, I need to have relationship with. Now, I can't figure out how that is, and I can't always tell you, well, that's Jesus speaking, and that's the Holy Spirit. No, but I know the voice of God when I hear, don't say anything. Now, those that have known me for a while, they will probably, hopefully testify, I don't talk as much as I used to, so sometimes I'm quiet. Especially if we're talking about the things of God, I can just go on forever. And hopefully that won't be today. Maybe. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So I come back to what I said before. You can know the scriptures really, really well, and you can try and by argumentative and, you know, this present this case of why they should respond and act the way they're supposed to respond. And you know the scripture says you have to do this and you have to do that and have to do this. And I'm not saying that's not a part of your walk. But he's the one that enables you to do it with the right attitude. Not because I have to, but because I'm in love with him. There's a difference. I don't do what I do because the scripture says, okay, you know, don't kill anybody. Okay, well, that's, yeah, I'm not going to do that, but I'm in love with him. That doesn't even, that's not even an option. Now, there are times where you'll be coming at it and what runs through you, sometimes it's your attitude and sometimes it's just the enemy. You know, you should kill this guy. No, that's just something that ran through. That's not an attitude within my heart. I really have no desire to kill him at all. In this process, because I have relationship with the Father, sometimes my interpersonal conversation, as this is coming at me, I will say, Father, I need to see them from your perspective. I need your heart to love them. And there's a transformation. So now this person that's railing on me, I might look at them, and because of Christ in me, who he is in me, I'll turn, and whatever the words are in this particular case that I'm remembering, you're really having a bad day, aren't you? Is there anything I can do to make it better? Totally destroyed the works of the evil one. Why? Because Bud is some great Christian? No! Because Bud allowed who he is in Christ to be released in a manner that the world needs to see. It changed his life momentarily. I don't think I ever led him to the Lord. I tried once. And then we get to the other one. And the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. And the wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps, Bruce commented once, I don't seem to know what to do with my hands. I used to put them in my pocket, so I'm not doing that anymore. And now I'm doing this, and sometimes I do this, and nobody can hear what I'm saying, so I don't know what to do with my cover. I don't know. Ah, this works. Have to add a little comedy when you're going to get something a little hard. The wise go over took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. They all went to sleep. Just to, you know, in case you hadn't noticed that, they all went to sleep. So there's no problem with falling asleep. It's like, are you going to have what you need when you wake up? At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all of the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were away to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came, and, sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Fine line between law and grace. So you need to find it. Come into the grace of what's being said. Want to have a relationship with him. A part of me is saying is you have to have a relationship with him, which is true, but then hear that from the grace perspective, not from law. And it's your choice. Are you going to include him in your day to day? And as it unfolds, it's a discipline. It's not something that happened with me all the time. I would get up early and I'd commit it to him, and then I'd want him to work and it would be great for a while, and then all of a sudden things would happen, and then I wouldn't be including him, and then I wouldn't make it right, and then it's like, whoa, this didn't really work real well. I can't tell you how many times you have to or need to say, I can't do this. I need you in this. Thought runs through your head. Is it you? Or is it something that took place in your life that's messing with you that you need to have dealt with? There are triggers in our lives as a result of past things that happened that's going to cause this to come up, and I need to be in relationship with him to find out, what do you want to do with this? And sometimes he says, I need you to forgive them. Oh yeah, but they did justifiably, da 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 da. Are you choosing to forgive? Someone comes up to you, could be a believer, that seems to be the biggest part in my walk, is it's not the world that has had the biggest effect of wrecking me, but believers. And I think the elders know that far better than I do. When people come to you and do what they do, or to reprove you, correct you, et cetera, are your ears open to hear the little bit that may be true when you know they're just ticked because they hit on something they didn't want to hear? I need the Lord to be able to separate what I need to hear and what I can just push aside. But I cannot allow bitterness to rise up within me towards them because of what they said or accused me of. I need to be able to stand strong. And now, in the many, 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 many teachings of Lori, you need to come back and hear who you are in him. The only opinion that matters is his and who he says I am. Because sometimes who he says I am and what's being demonstrated don't match. So don't allow condemnation. Go to the one that can change you and say, how come this doesn't match? What's here? And allow him to revealed to you, which is the foundation of the church. It was revealed for you to have relationships so that this issue can be dealt with. Maybe you had bad parents. That's going to cause some damage if you don't have it dealt with in some way. Now, sometimes it has to be through counseling or somebody praying with you or whatever. But you don't necessarily need that, but you definitely need him in order for the wound to be dealt with where you can go on. How are we doing with time? Close. Not close to done, but we're close. This might be 3 weeks, Bruce, but that's okay. I'm going to use this example, Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. This really isn't about husbands, but that's just how it says. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So in dealing with others, my question for you is, how does the Lord deal with you? You screw up. What does he do? Smack you upside the head and shake you a bunch of times and say, don't do this anymore? That's never happened. Not yet. He speaks to the matter. And I see his goodness towards me. I see his goodness towards me. Quick story. I am a believer, working kind of in a factory situation. Supervisor, not my supervisor, came up to me and told me to do such and such. Well, he's not my supervisor. I had my own task, my own supervisor, and I went off on him. Okay? Well, obviously, the Christian going off on a supervisor causes a crowd to gather around to watch the supposed Christian going off. And not, I did it well, okay? If I do something, I'm going to do it well, all right? I didn't kind of go, I mean, we did it well. So years of testimony just down the tubes, okay? Head home, I'm blown away. I'm absolutely blown away. Oh, God, I've done it again. There is a letter on our table, written in pencil. Now, big little backstory. Sometime earlier, a guy gets killed in front of our house. I went out and interceded, and it got put in the newspaper, and it turns out the guy was from somewhere. So anyway, I have this letter written in pencil sitting on my table with no stamp on it. So my wife must have brought it in and put it on the table. So I open up the letter. This is the day I didn't kind of screw up, I really did. So I open this letter, written in pencil. I don't know why that means anything, it's just odd it was written in pencil. Please forgive us, for we have driven by your house many times where our son was killed, and we want to thank you for what you did for him. His parents were believers. And they knew that God, all the rest of the story is God saw angels come and minister the gospel to him, and he ends up getting saved. Now, I went out there, I said, what do you want me to do? Well, I didn't go out and preach the gospel because he's sitting in the middle of the road with his head in his girlfriend's lap. So I just went on the shoulder, kneeled down, and I was interceding, as I do, which is what caused the reporter to wonder what I'm doing. So, but anyway, the point is, he showed me his goodness. Sometimes we get that mixed up, that because he showed him, us, me, his goodness, that means I'm okay. No, he's just showed you his goodness. It doesn't mean we are okay, but My screw-up was a screw-up, that he needed to change my attitude because I could have responded differently or with the supervisor with something simple. Thank you for asking me to do this, but I already have other things to do with my own supervisor, and gone my merry way. That's not what how it happened. So I learned. I've grown. I'm now allowing him to come through with it. Last scripture, and it's something for you to take home with you, homework. Oh, I just about have done this. Second Peter 1:1. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. You have received faith. It comes every time God reveals something to you. It's a substance of faith. We're saved by grace through faith, so that it's not ourselves that we won't boast. So when God speaks to you about something, taps his finger, shows you something, you have faith to agree with him, say, I need you to do something, the grace is released, and now you can do what you couldn't do, okay? Real quick. 2 Peter, because this is the process, I'm a process person, and I'm saying this at the end so that you can take it and ask the Lord to show you what this means, because it's just... 2 Peter 1:5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, this has two applications, how God responds to you and how God's wanting you to respond to others. Two applications. So I'm talking more about how God's wanting you to respond to others, and you may need to be able to see how he's responding to you. Somebody comes at me, I respond with the goodness of God towards them. And then he begins to give me knowledge concerning what's going on, and I realize that what they were doing, I used to do, and I begin to get some understanding about how really sinful the sin is concerning my own life or whatever, however it works out. So you add to your knowledge self-control. So as this unfolds in my life and how I'm responding, I begin to start understanding the whole ramifications of me choosing rightly so that I might understand how the consequences of my own actions affect other people. Fly by, got it. So in my knowledge of that, I'm now responding in self-control. Self-control switches to perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. When you get tested and respond incorrectly, this is the process. You're being given what you need. If you respond correctly and you get to the other side and you go, ah, we made it, you'll be tested in it again. And again, and again, and again. And if you continue to respond, allow him to be who he is in there to respond rightly, you come to the next spot. Godliness. So now I'm being hit with this, and now I'm responding in a godliness fashion. And as that happens, then my demeanor towards this, again, I'm going to go to an individual, demeanor is brotherly kindness. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? And brotherly kindness, which is the ultimate place God's wanting us to bring us to concerning all of these things, is love. So can you look at the person that's now coming against you, or a different person this time, or whatever, and what's coming out of you is the love of the Father towards them? That's the process of salvation. He's wanting us to be like Christ on the cross. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's wanting to bring us to a place that we so demonstrate him that it's a delight, it's a joy that we might see the glory of God manifested in our lives because we say yes to him. It's not easy. I can't express that. But it is it rewarding enough? And the answer is, yeah. Choose him. Choose the will of God. Choose the Father. Now, at least do it the first time, like, so you might see, go, wow, this really is neat. And then you might miss out the second time. There's no condemnation. Allow the process to bring you to the place where the world looks at you and they go, there is something different about that man. There's almost a glow. Now, I've seen the glow on this woman. A heavenly glow. When she's in where she is with the Lord and doing what she's doing, you'll see this glow. It's, yeah. And you will see the glory of God, that light on the face of the people that are doing what they're doing. And if you are quick enough, because I've had this happen, I had to go on in the bathroom to do something, and I saw there was a glow because I was doing what it was he would have me do. The glory of God manifested here on earth in you. So that's what he has before you. Choose him. Does it cost you having to spend, no, wrong word, getting to spend time with him? Yep, might have to get up early. You might have to choose not to watch a program on TV that you always watch, tape it, or just forget about it. Listen to his voice. If he's calling you, go. Go spend time with him. Let him change you. If there's things going on in your life that you don't understand, go spend time with him. Let him show you. So, Father, there is so much that was shared, and I know, especially this last part, it's a flyby for most of us, sometimes even me, to be able to comprehend. But I'm a process person. I wanted to leave you with the process that takes you from where you are in an area of your life that God is putting his finger on and bringing you to this place where now in that same area, when the world looks at you, all they can see is the glory of God. There are some areas of my life, you can push these buttons until hell freezes over, and they will have no effect on me. I will respond in him because he's made that change. Some areas, we won't talk about the others. So, Father, I ask that your word went forth, that it might find root within their hearts. And as per usual, anything that was of bud, let that fall to the ground and let the birds of the air eat that. But the seeds that were you, that you planted in their hearts, cast the net that the birds would not be able to snatch it away. Remove the weeds from their lives, that it might find root in good soil, and their lives would be changed because of what you have done through this vessel. Amen.